Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very wintry, snowy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where last night the low was 52. Glenn, yeah. Uh-huh. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 2nd, 2012, episode 333, sponsored today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge. The day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way.
Okay, I might be a little bit distracted right now because for the first time since I've owned this cat, this worthless, good-for-nothing, no-go-for-hunting cat, he is hunting for the first time ever, I would like to say. So a round of applause to Frank the cat.
Do you have a mouse in your pocket or...?
No, and you know what's really awesome is not knowing what they're hunting because he's hunting a fly.
Oh.
A fly in my office. And this is the first
big
the only thing. Yeah, I'm like, wow, good for you, cat. It's a fly. Very good. But maybe this is like a jumping off point for him. But what's really awesome is all of a sudden he just does these acrobatics in the air and lands, of course, on his feet. But really, a fly, is this like Karate Kid training where they Daniel-san had the chopsticks and Mr. Miyagi made him stand there and like grab the flies with the chopsticks? Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, wipe on, wipe off, round and around he went. Yep. Yeah, probably like that.
Why you got a movie reference.
I know.
I'm impressed.
Does Bill spend his entire time on the roof all day, every day?
Yes. Yes, he does nothing.
No.
This this is the cat that we got because we were going to have some help with our gopher control population just get the random mouse that runs into your attack room. You know, just be like a cat. And this cat literally comes outside. I throw him outside every day because he doesn't even rather not be outside. He's put on like 5 pounds since we own him, okay? He would rather be inside. I have to kick his butt outside where he then proceeds to jump on the roof and stay there all day long until I bring him in. Worthless.
He's got it great, actually, if you think about it. He's got it good. He's got you wrapped around his finger.
Oh, sure. And you know what's really entertaining is that in the middle of the night, because I bring him in at night, in the middle of the night I'll wake up and he's on my face, you know, like he's decided that he wants to sleep with us. And he comes in the house and comes in our bedroom and like stalks us while we're sleeping. I wake up and I've got like, what is that pain in my chest? I can't breathe. And you have a dream that you're like drowning and you wake up and there's like a 12-pound cat sitting on your chest.
I know. That's why our cat isn't allowed in the bedroom at night. He just would drive me insane. I couldn't sleep. Jennifer had a funny line here. She says, he wants to be on Broadway, cat on a hot tin roof.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And Frank's life on the roof is going to change come summer because he ain't staying on the roof during summer. I'm going to email Jennifer a photo and maybe she can post it. This is Frank in his utmost glory. Frank, the white cat with blue eyes, who's not deaf, in his glory on top of the roof. So we'll post that in just a minute. But while I'm sending that to Jennifer, tell us what's on today's show.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, Hoosier Horse Fair event manager Danielle Tolan opens the show and reveals what sort of extreme horse activities Jamie and Glenn will be lassoed into at that fair, which happens in April from the 12th through the 15th of April. Next up, our favorite race caller Larry Kalmus is here, and he's going to bring us an update on what he's been up to since last year's Triple Crown and what is going to happen this year for this Triple Crown. And being Wednesday and all, we have a snack now because thehorse.com is here and they will have their usual appetite-destructing horse health report. So stay tuned, folks.
And only on a horse show will you see on the show notes when thehorse.com comes on, one of the items is cooled semen. What other morning show would be talking about cooled semen other than maybe Howard Stern? And that's a completely different...
I don't even know why he would bring up the cooled portion of it, so we might be the only ones.
Well, Jamie, my daily whinny goes out to your lovely husband, Chad, and I apologize to Chad for bringing him in on that conversation yesterday about, you know, the celebrity list, the approved list when you're married. The approved celebrities that if you ever had the opportunity, you could spend time with them that this couple both knows is never going to happen. So that's why it's an okay list. But I brought Chad into that conversation, if you missed it, at the end of yesterday's show and caused kind of a family feud with Jamie all upset as we were ending the show yesterday. And Jamie saying, I'm going to come up with my own top five list. I never had a top five list because I didn't know we were allowed to have a top five list. Was it something like that, Jamie?
I think you did good. I still think it's wrong. And let me just tell you that right now, at this very moment, forever, his top five list will never be approved. Now, let me just spit that out right now. However, my top five list is approved. He didn't say that, but I'm going to go with it.
Oh, so you have come up with your top five list.
Well, you told me I had to, okay? I mean, seriously,
okay,
top five.
You suffered through looking at pictures of good-looking celebrity types and picking out your top five. I'm sure it was a horrible chore.
Yeah, it was really painful, so much so that I have six.
All right, let's hear your list, see if anybody agrees with you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, first, because it's just got to be that way, number one, well, probably, let's go with number six is honorable mention. Number six would be Jared Rogerson, who we play on the show all the time, who is the cutest cowboy ever, and he can play guitar and sing. So, I mean, horse guy that plays guitar and sings, that's better than dating your farrier, okay?
and I got to tell you something. If you go to jaredrogerson.com, I noticed this morning because we're playing one of his songs later, go to jaredrogerson.com, and you're going to love him even more because Horses in the Morning is set front and center right on his homepage of his website.
Really?
Yep.
Is it a top five list with me on it? Is that what it is? Probably
that's
not.
What it is. That is absolutely right. How did you guess that?
I know. It's crazy. I'm smart. I don't see it. But we'll just keep going here. I've mentioned this celebrity on the show many times, and ladies, Bradley Cooper. I mean, come on, Bradley Cooper. You know, I might stray off this list a little bit in general public awareness. However, Bradley Cooper, the guy in The Hangover, hot. Number two of the non-honorable mentions, this is number two, I would have to say I've loved him for a long time, and it's time that he got the recognition that he deserves. Yes, he might be old, but I'm getting older too. His name is Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner!
Actually, I haven't heard that name in a while.
That's, I'm sorry. When I watch Field of Dreams, it's one of my top five movies of all time. It's Field of Dreams, probably number three behind Both Man from Snowy Rivers. I would have to say that Kevin Costner just does it for me. Just does.
How old is Kevin Costner now? He's got to be, what, in his...
Let me just tell you, Glenn, he's about 34, okay, in the movie. So
he's 56 now, 56.
Oh, my gosh, who cares? He's still hot. The next name would have to be, because we're going with number three, I just, you know, I got to get my groove on. I got a little Justin Timberlake.
What? Really?
Oh, my God, he's funny, he's talented, he can dance, he can sing, he's a good actor, he's got it all. Justin stinking Timberlake. Okay, never was a fan of him when he was in NSYNC and he had the big afro. I didn't like that. Blonde afros don't do it for me. However, now he's hot and he's popular and he's, you know, got the box and everything. So
he is very charming. I've seen it. I saw him on an interview recently. And he's a very charming guy. He comes across very charming.
Well, that's the thing, is men like Justin Timberlake and women love Justin Timberlake. So I don't know of anybody who doesn't like him because he's funny and he can sing and dance and he's hot. And aside from any men that don't like him because they're jealous of him, come on, he's a cool guy. He's a very cool guy. See him on Saturday Night Live, he's very cool. The next one, oh, I'm never going to hear the end of it. You know, I am from the ATL, and, you know, a little urban culture is popular, and I'm sorry, he's just hot, and his voice is amazing, and his name is Eminem. Eminem, ladies and gentlemen!
I gotta tell you, I did not expect that.
That's the bad boy from Detroit. Oh, come on. The man, he would scare me. But I would be okay with it. Like, he's scary.
I was going to say, he's not your usual type with tattoos everywhere and the whole thing. He's not your usual type.
I like the bad boy every once in a while, though, okay? It's opposite from Jared Rogerson as he could get.
I know. I was just going to say that. You got Jared on one extreme, and you got Eminem on the other. Well,
I'm sorry,
that's why
I don't
you have
know
the
why.
List. That's why there's five on the list, so you can get some variety.
Yes, and so I just think Eminem, you know, he's had all these marriage problems. And before I met Chad, I was like, I can fix him. I can make him happy. He'll write a whole album not about being angry, about being happy. That was what I was going to do for Eminem. But too late, Eminem, you missed the boat. this ship has sailed. and then my final one, there's just nobody that tops this celebrity. And, you know, I like to be able to watch him in a movie or see him without getting embarrassed, but I can't. And his name is Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, Leo.
You blew that. That ship sailed a long time ago. You blew that when you met him.
Listen, second chances, okay? You got to have a second chance sometime. I really think that I would be able to hold myself together and have some composure when I meet Leonardo DiCaprio for the second time standing next to him at a bar. Oh, that's never going to happen, is it? That's why
nope.
He's on the list.
Blew that one. You had one opportunity to make a good first impression, and you blew it.
I'm sorry. Like I said, he still thinks it's nice to they let the special people in the bar.
Well, there's Jamie's list. There it is. And I would have said that you would have had the opportunity maybe with a couple of those when you were in real radio, but now you don't have a chance. There's no problem.
You know how many of these people that I've actually met on this list? One. And, well, I didn't really meet him. I spit on him. So aside from Leonardo DiCaprio, which is never going to happen again, Eminem, Justin Timberlake, Kevin Costner, and Bradley Cooper have not been calling nor looking for me. But again, that's why they're on the list.
That's true. That is true. That's why lists are safe things. That's why. Hey, I have a list. I have a crappy list Wednesday list for a little bit later on after our, I think we'll have time after Larry's on here, our favorite race caller of all time. I have a list of the 10 worst gifts to give a woman on Valentine's Day. And then I need some advice. I need to find out some advice because Valentine's Day, you know, is only next, Tuesday. So I have to, we're going to be doing that a little bit later, and I need to ask you some advice. We'll have Jennifer just turn off her headset and not listen. But first, we need to talk to you about really bad ads this week. We have a prize, a great prize. There was a booth set up across from us called Red Hout Horse, across from us at the Ada show last week. And it's called Red Hout Horse. Is it pronounced Hout? Is that how you say that? H-A-U-T-E?
Hot.
Hot? Okay. Red Hot Horse has these great, they have the best halters. They have all kinds of designs and all kinds of things. And they were a lot of fun, and they're all made in the United States. These are terrific products, and they're giving away a matching halter and dog collar set. And to the winner of Really Bad Ads this week, they are a fun company. We absolutely love them. They had some great designs. There were a couple that we wanted for Beaker. So I submitted some really bad ads, and I'm hoping to win because I know that you want one of these fun halters too. You said that this morning, and I said you have to submit really bad ads, but mine's going to win this week. I got a great one. Mine's going to kick your butt.
How stinking cute is that to have like a matching halter and collar? You'd be like, imagine being at a horse show, like walking along, and you've got, you know, your pony and his fancy purple and silver halter, and then you look down, your dog is wearing purple and silver leash and collar. Oh my gosh, so cute! I want one.
Okay, well, that's coming up Friday, so you want to submit your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get on Craigslist today. It's not hard. It'll take you 2 minutes to find really bad ads on Craigslist. We like them to be about farm life, something to do with farm animals, horses, or the implements thereof. So send them over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line, and we're going to be doing that. It's back after a hiatus here on Friday at 10 o'clock. Now, the other thing coming up is tomorrow we're going to be traveling to Ocala, Florida for a week. So we are going to be off tomorrow, back live on Friday. But we have a very special show for you tomorrow. A lot of you are new listeners to the show since this show started over a year ago now. And we have something special for you. Jamie had to audition for this, along with four other people that we chose out of a whole group of about 80 people who applied to be the host of the Horses in the Morning show. And the way we had them audition was we had them co-host an episode of the Stable Scoop radio show. So what we have for you tomorrow, and the new listeners who have not heard this before are going to enjoy this, this is Jamie's audition show from back over a year in October of 2010. And we were actually talking, when I listened back to part of it, we were actually talking about the World Equestrian Games because we played these shows during the World Equestrian Games. It's kind of weird to hear back that, too. Brought back memories. I have to say that I think there was a reason you got hired to do this because in your audition show, well, we'll let people listen to it and determine for themselves.
What?
Tomorrow at 9 a.m., you'll listen to that.
But I want to hear what you were about to say.
On Friday. Well, wait for Friday to talk about that. I want people to listen to the audition show first. Tomorrow, tune in. Chris Cox was on that show. And let's just say that Chris is not always the easiest interview, so Jamie was tested a bit there. and you'll see how she did tomorrow,
now,
9 a.m., with Jamie's audition show.
This is also the show. This audition show, Glenn made me actually book all the guests myself. It was part of the deal was, hey, you're going to do the show. You have to book all the guests. You have to do everything and then blah, blah, blah. So this is actually the same show that I booked the Todd Pletcher interview with and Glenn deleted it. So we ended up having my friends in the Girl Scouts and Chris Cox, which I thought I booked. Chris Cox and Todd Pletcher, you had to hire me. Thank you very much.
The Girl Scouts actually turned out to be one of the better parts of that show, though, I have to tell you.
Fun interview. Matter.
All right, tune in tomorrow for that. But right now we have our first guest on here. We're very excited because we've been invited, Jamie and I and Jennifer, to go to the Hoosier Horse Fair, which is held at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in April 13th through the 15th, a couple weeks before Rolex. I'm actually going to see Jamie twice in 1 month, and we're going to be there just hosting the Horses in the Morning show one day and then participating in a lot of fun events. But we want to find out more about the Hoosier Horse Fair. And to help us do that, we have Danielle Tolan, event manager for the fair. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to be coming out there and joining you. This is in Indianapolis, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. We've been hosting this event for 34 years now there.
Well, and isn't that the place that just hosted another big event? Has the city recovered yet?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we're still tired.
Of course, we're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It must have been a wild week last week in Indianapolis.
Yes, the hype is, you know, kind of dwindling now, and I think we're just seeing all the bleeps and all the, you know, negativity about the event now. But I think it was a positive event for the state and for Indianapolis.
Well, that's so cool. That is cool. Well, let's talk about the Hoosier Horse Fair. So
yes.
What you said it's been around for a long time. And is it like a what I would say, a horse fair that people are used to, or is this a little different? Tell us about it.
Yes, this fair is a three-day event, and it celebrates the horse industry. We have live entertainment, we have equine demonstrations, clinicians, educational presenters, we have 4-H competitions, the ranch rodeo, and we have a very large trade show. So it's for everybody, horse lovers or just people that love to wear boots.
You have some very special guests coming, one of who has been on this show once or twice, and who has now become a movie star. Tell us about that.
Yes, Buck Brenneman is going to be our highlight clinician this year. He will be there all 3 days. He'll be doing from the basic to advanced horsemanship to cow cutting to roping demonstrations to even doing his story on horseback, which will really be exciting. We're just so excited to have him. We will also be doing a contest starting February 13th, anybody can enter on our website at HoosierHorseFair.org, and they can enter to win a free hour with Buck.
Ooh, that's pretty big.
Wow.
Yes. Isn't that very cool?
That's pretty cool because, you know, Buck isn't cheap when he does his clinics, and that's a big deal.
Yeah. We wanted to take advantage of Buck every opportunity that we could. So we're having autograph opportunities. We're having his documentary looped on a video screen all day long. We'll just be doing so much stuff with Buck. I don't think he'll be able to relax.
He's coming, darn it, we're putting him to work. Is his daughter coming along? We saw her when they came into Lexington here, and she was along and apparently is as delightful as he is.
Yes, she's not coming along that I know of as of yet. You know, they could spring that on at the last minute and just decide, yes, she's going to come along. But as of right now, she's not.
Okay. All right. But you have a lot of other things going on. You have Theo, and you have us. And and I think Jamie will be applying for that hour. Jamie's going to be online registering for that contest for an hour with Buck.
February 13th. You can't do it before then or else we won't accept it. So only February 13th. I know. But we'll be
doing
it before.
That's why I couldn't find it.
I know, you're probably on there right now. But yeah, starting February 13th through middle of March, for 3 weeks, we'll be taking entries, and it will go into a pool, and you'll get an email back with your confirmation number. So keep that number, because Buck will be drawing the numbers in March. So, and we'll be doing that live on our website. So that will be fun.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, and we'll be having you guys do a lot of fun things, too. I think we're getting you both on horseback for Cowboy Mountain.
Actually, I'm going to be in a wagon. I think I'm going to be doing one of the driving events, and then Jennifer is going to be doing shooting. And I'm voting for Jamie. She has this horse that goes into bucking fits every once in a while. So I'm voting for Jamie to doing the Bucking Bronco Hoosier Ranch Rodeo.
Oh, there you go. Yes, our ranch rodeo is Friday and Saturday night, so we will definitely put her in one of the nights on the bucking.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Jamie.
Yeah,
we'll make sure you wear a helmet.
And a vest and a body bubble wrap. The whole suit.
Bubble wrap and everything.
You have a
stock. Yeah, but we have a lot of exciting.
There's just all different kinds of stuff here.
And
then the Duncan Acres donkey. How cute is that?
Yes, I think we might get you up on there, Glenn, because I heard you're quite the horseman with the reins.
I love the I love driving, and the Dunker. Yeah. Imagine tiny little donkeys and a six in hand hitch of tiny little miniature donkeys pulling around this little miniature beer wagon.
Yes.
And I'm watching a picture here. How cute!
Yes, and they are. They did the replica, and they got the permission from Budweiser, and their hitch and their harness looks just like the Budweiser hitch. So that's really neat. It's really cute. But we have other things at our event besides just the Duncan Acres donkeys. We have the Cowboy Mounted Shooters, like I talked about. We have the Hoosier Horse Fair Ranch Rodeo, and we've had that for the last 3 years. It's Friday and Saturday night, and that's our big event. And, you know, we have grown men trying to milk wild cows. Have you guys ever seen that?
No.
Well, it's kind of amazing. They have to get enough milk into a bottle and run to a circle, and there has to be at least one drip that comes out. So that's really interesting to see grown men run across a arena in cowboy boots with a bottle of milk in their hand.
I can't wait to see that. That's
You know who's going to do that one? That has Glenn the Geek written all over it.
Well, you know, that would definitely require a helmet because those boys get stepped on, and it's so dangerous, I think, just watching them. But it is a crowd pleaser. Those people get up on their feet, and they cheer, and they – I mean, those boys, I mean, some of them are so big, and they're running across this arena, you know, 200 feet and to this circle, and it's just hilarious. And then they also they load a cow into an open trailer. And then they have to get into a truck. So that's kind of interesting, too. It's called trailer loading. So you guys will have to see that as well.
With a cow?
With a cow.
Oh, my God.
And they have to get, yes.
All right. Well, this will be fun. We are so looking forward to this. I'm going to give the website. It's HoosierHorseFair.org. And we're going to get a couple. There's a couple interesting people that you're going to have there as presenters. And we're going to get them on the show here ahead of time. And then we're going to be doing our show live from there the Friday we're there. So we'll be getting a whole bunch of guests. We'll probably try and drag Buck over for a couple minutes for that, too.
Definitely.
But we're looking forward to this. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, definitely.
It's HoosierHorseFair.org. The dates, again, are April 13th through the 15th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Danelle. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Oh, my gosh, we might meet Buck Brenneman. Holy cow.
Oh, you're definitely going to meet Buck. They're trying to arrange so they can come over and do the show with us that morning and say hi for a couple minutes.
Good.
So, which of these activities, you don't want to do the Bucking Bronx. How about, I have it right here, the stick pony race.
That's more what you're qualified for. What else is there? What other clinics? What can I do? I mean, I would love to do the Buck Clinic. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So I know we discussed the, you know, potentially mounted shooting, but, you know, to save face, I'm not going to do mounted shooting because I have a really, really distinct fear of guns. And I know that Tammy, if she's listening, she's going to laugh at me for not wanting to try mounted shooting, but I'm so scared of guns, I don't want to do it. So what else is there?
I don't know. We're going to have to take a look at the list here. We're going to have to find something for you to participate in. Maybe we'll get you driving. Maybe we'll get you driving. That's something different for you.
You know, remember that video we posted, Glenn, with the video of the pleasure driving class?
Yeah.
Don't do that. We don't need to do that again.
All right, let's get to our commercial, and then we have a very special guest coming up. The number one, in our opinion, our adopted horse race caller, Larry Kalmus, is going to be coming up in a minute. But first, Back on Track products. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work, and what is the science behind them? Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect.
This reflective heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
Ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And Soldat had a great start, but it's Tama to the top, who goes out to the front, and there goes Shackleford to the outside, and Pants on Fire settles in right behind them. Decisive Moment is down at the rail. Soldat is right there to the outside. So it's going to be Shackleford, and Shackleford's going to make the lead in that mad rush to the first turn. Tama to the top on the inside second. Soldat is right there running in third position. Pants on Fire fourth. Decisive Moment rides the rail in fifth. Nero is sixth on the far outside. He's pretty close. He's only five lengths off the lead. Then Stay Thirsty, Mucho Macho Man between horses.
They're into the stretch, and it's Shackleford with the rail, and Nero on the outside. These two Animal Kingdom roaring down the center of the track. Here comes Animal Kingdom in the middle of the racetrack to Bradley, and then it's Nero and Shackleford, but it's Animal Kingdom and John Velasquez to win the Derby. And then it was Nero, Mucho Macho Man was third, and then came Shackleford. Animal Kingdom did it.
And that is Larry Kalmus. Oh my God, I'm excited just listening to that. What a fantastic job. Please welcome everybody, Larry Kalmus.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We are thrilled to have you on. The last time we talked to you, you had just found out that you were going to do the Derby and the Triple Crown races. So, oh my gosh, it's been so long. How are you doing? How was that?
It was an amazing experience. And I actually remember the first time you guys had me on the show, and one of the questions you asked me is, would you ever get a chance to call the Kentucky Derby? And I said, well, you know, they've got somebody that does that, and Tom Durkin, who's done a great job over the years. So, you know, it'd be fun to be able to do something like that. But, you know, it's basically someone else's job. And then all of a sudden I get this phone call saying, hey, do you want to do it? So I guess you guys are my good luck charm. But it's been an amazing year. And that was such a great experience.
Well,
what
Larry,
do you want to do this year?
Else?
We'll just mention it. Yeah.
Exactly.
What was that?
Is there anything else you want to do this year that we can just start putting in the works for you? I mean,
oh,
my God.
Well, yeah. I'd like to, win the lottery. That would be nice, you know. But,
that happens.
We'll settle for doing the Triple Crown again, you know.
Now, is that a done deal? Are you going to do it? Because, my gosh, they had to be so thrilled with the way that you did it. It was just awesome. I just listened to it, and I was like, we know that guy. He's awesome.
Well, yeah, thanks very much. I am definitely going to do it. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Last year, you know, I only had like 3 weeks or so before I found out I was going to do it, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to kind of worry about it and get all flustered and all that. But now I've got, months to get all worried about it. But, it's also, a good time to start preparing and watching all these races around the country and all that. And it'll be great to have one under my belt and, be able to do this again this coming first Saturday in May. It was just an absolute thrill to be atop the grandstand at Churchill Downs and be able to call that race, and it's like the end of a lifelong dream. If you're in this business, you're like, man, that's the race I want to call, and I got to do it. And it was just I remember when the horses hit the wire, just this feeling of, wow, it's over, and how exhilarating that was. It was just an incredible out-of-body experience.
That's what I was wondering, is when you're watching it and you're calling it, are you just going with what you feel and what you see? Do you have stuff rehearsed? Like when you say, oh, this horse comes up, do you have it rehearsed, or is it just right off the top of your head?
it's kind of like a football game, and that the coaches have a game plan, and you know, as a race caller, maybe on an everyday basis, like today at Gulfstream, where it's not the hugest day in the world, just a Wednesday, you'll just sort of take it in stride, and whatever happens. But for the Kentucky Derby, there's definitely a lot of preparation involved in coming up with a game plan, different scenarios, what to expect, and all that. And I went in there with a game plan on how I wanted to handle calling the race, and you know, then you just hope for the best. And I actually got I thought a relatively easy Kentucky Derby to call, because there wasn't a whole lot of action as far as, you know, a bunch of horses coming down the stretch at this, you know, and, you know, eight horses across the track. There were only about three or four that were in contention by the time they got into mid stretch. So that made things a little bit easier. But, you know, the whole idea was to, especially the first year, is not to get too, you know, cute or anything. Just get them around there and you know, just let the excitement happen, because it's such an exciting event. You don't need to add to it. You know, you just need to mm-hmm. describe it.
Well, and definitely a gift to be able to describe something that is going on, that is happening that fast and that furious right in front of you. So are you doing some more homework than you would have done before you got the gig, or are you just, is it kind of like a normal year for you?
It's definitely, I don't think, as long as I'm going to be doing this, it's never going to be normal again. it kind of starts. It starts right now. I mean, they're the three-year-old races that are already begun. Now, I'm lucky in that, you know, I'm the everyday announcer at Gulfstream Park in Florida, where a lot of the top three-year-olds prepare for the Kentucky Derby. So I'm going to get a chance to have seen a lot of these horses already. And the big races are still to come. We've got our big race, the Fountain of Youth, in a few weeks, and then the Florida Derby. And then at the same time, I'm watching these three-year-old races around the country and making sure I start familiarizing myself with all the horses, so that by the time, you know, we get close to the Kentucky Derby, I'm going to get a good feel of what's out there, and you know, and I'll be more ready by the time the first Saturday in May comes around.
Now, are you a married guy? I mean, are you married?
No, I'm single, actually.
You're single.
There's stuff we can
my
put on
God.
The list.
Right?
Which makes things a lot easier, you know, moving from track to track and all that stuff. I just pick up my stuff and throw it in the car and go. So it's pretty cool.
I was wondering how a wife would tolerate this lifestyle that you have, because I know that you are also the announcer at Monmouth, sometimes Suffolk Downs and Gulfstream, and you're all over the place and then doing all the Triple Crown races. But I must say, I wonder, are like the chicks lining up for a guy that calls the Derby?
Not that I know of.
There's too much security then. I bet if they could get up there, they would. There's probably a huge line, and there's like a beefy security guards that are stopping all the women from making their way up to the top where you are. I'm
going
to tell you
that. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, Larry, I know we're short. Oh, go ahead.
Can I ask a quick question? Yeah, I just want to know, when we just listened to that Kentucky Derby race, at the end of the race, I mean, was it emotion that took over, the screaming at the end of the race there? Is that pure emotion, or is that something you actually plan to do and it's kind of an act?
No, that's pure emotion, and I wish I hadn't screamed so loud, to be honest with you. It's just, and that's one of those things where you're, you know, you want to be as professional, and it's like, I guess for me, like, I know that could happen, and I try to, you know, in my own way, make it more of a growl than a scream, so I don't sound like some banshee, you know, so to try to, you know, not really tone it down, but maybe just make it a little more guttural, and that seemed to have worked okay. It did sound like a bit of a scream to me, too, listening to it again, but, you know, when you're calling a race like that, and at the beginning of the race, you're trying to, you know, you want to build to a crescendo, basically. And at the beginning of the race, you're just getting things set and going. And then you're sort of going with a flow after that. And, you know, by the time they hit the wire, your heart is going about, you know, 5,000 beats a minute. And you're just trying to, you know, get through this thing. And that's what comes out. You know, that was just pure adrenaline. And
I loved it. I don't change. Well, don't
you.
be don't. me feeling bad about it, I think that's perfect. It's just built. You're right. It's a culmination of all the excitement that the whole audience is feeling. And I don't know how you, being in that environment with 110,000 people screaming, couldn't do that. It was perfect.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I agree. You know what, though? You made the hair on my arm stand up. I think that the race caller for the Kentucky Derby especially is such a part of the intricate race and getting the excitement and passion going. Yeah, don't change a thing. I thought you did awesome. I mean, I remember from my youngest days hearing, I'm down the stretch, they come with Tundrick. And so you just own it, man. Just own it. Just go with it. Don't change a thing.
All right. But, I'll take your word for on that one.
Before we let you go, we would be remiss if we did not mention my wife knows everything and the wife doesn't know, obviously. Do you credit that at all to your current success?
You know, I try not to because, you know, and the guys at NBC, when I talked to them, they were definitely aware of it, and they actually played the stretch call of that race on the Kentucky Derby show. But they told me that wasn't the reason that they hired me, which was good to hear because, you know, there's so many races that you do over a period of time that, you know, that you want to be remembered for rather than sort of a thing that turned out to be kind of a shtick thing, even though it was, you know, was totally unplanned. It was, you know, I really want to be remembered more for, you know, the Triple Crown races and that kind of stuff. And the NBC guys did say that wasn't the reason that they picked me. So that made me feel a little bit better. But, you know, I know a lot of people had a lot of fun with that race, including myself. And, you know, I'm sure the exposure of calling that didn't hurt.
Well, we just loved it. And because it wasn't planned and it wasn't fake, that's what made it so genuine and good. But I have to make you aware of something. I know you travel a lot. But is there, we know you're single, but is there a special horse in your life right now?
A special horse in my life? I'd say that, you know, there's so many cool horses that I get a chance to call on a regular basis. And
okay,
you know,
well, I'll just stop you there because that sounds like there's not. And I would like to let you know that at New Vocations, which is an adoption facility, my wife knows everything, is looking for a home. So I think that, Tom, you should adopt My Wife Knows Everything. How awesome would that be?
Well, you know, that would be a thought that I might want to do something like that, you know. But I don't know where I can't put him in my apartment, or put her in my apartment. Idea. We could find
That's
some
my
other
horse trailer. And
not a bad idea, well, though. That's good.
For those who are listening and are interested, My Wife Knows Everything is available at New Vocations, and you can check it out at horseadoption.com. And I know we're out of time, Larry. Just thank you so much for coming on the show, and we hope to talk to you again before the Derby.
Absolutely. Just call me and be happy to come on and talk to you guys again.
Awesome.
Thanks, Larry.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. Now, of course, we have
– ever.
I know. He's amazing. He's awesome. So let's go ahead and play it for everybody because we had to let Larry go. We should play the famed call.
I don't have it.
What?
That wasn't on the schedule. We weren't going to play that.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn, you should really pay attention. Jennifer, don't you remember me telling him to get it? And he said, I have it. And I said, okay, well, we'll play it right as soon as we're done with him.
Oh, no, I meant, yeah, I just thought you meant I was supposed to get the address for horseadoption.com. That's what I thought. I got that.
Oh, my gosh.
I know where you
gosh.
Can find My Wife Knows Everything.
You know what? I can make this easy for our listeners. I will post a link to the YouTube video. How's that?
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. We really
got
appreciate
you out of that one, Glenn.
Thank you.
God, you're like my husband. I swear, I talk and talk and talk, and he goes, oh, yeah, okay. And then later on, he'll be like repeating the same thing I just said as it's a question. And I'm like, we just went over that. We just went over that, Chad. What do you?
So
oh,
if there's two
I'm
of us
sorry.
And one of you, does that make the problem us? Just saying.
I think it's men in general, Jennifer. Would you agree?
Oh, speaking of which, that is a perfect transition right into my crappy list Wednesday. This is so men out there, and I know there's a lot of men that listen to this show. This is so we don't get in trouble again this year on Valentine's Day, which is next week on Tuesday, the 14th, for a reminder. And we don't have too many shows between now and then that we're going to be live, so I want to go over this today in Scrappy List Wednesday. The 10 worst gifts to give a woman on Valentine's Day. And, Jamie, I want to see if you agree with this list. And I can honestly say that I have I'm pleading with this. 10 worst gifts to give a woman on Valentine's Day, and I think these are even worse when it's a
let's see, Jennifer, I want to know, you and I are going to sit here and say if we've ever received one of these gifts before.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
A vacuum cleaner.
Is it a Roomba? Because I would like another Roomba. The Roomba pet hair model looks awesome. But you're right. Valentine's Day, not a great gift. Never received one, though.
A Dyson you might consider. It's supposed to be really good.
Dyson or Roomba pet hair. Yeah, got it.
Second, I'm kind of surprised it was on this list because I don't know there's certain things. Well, I'll just say it. Clothing.
Yeah. I would like to tell all men to stay away from buying clothing for your wife, unless you're metrosexual and you have really great taste and you'd like to spend a lot of money on clothes. Do not buy your wife clothing. It will never work.
Okay. Well, there you go. Don't buy
I'm helping clothes. You, Glenn. I'm helping you.
Thank you. You're going to love this next one. And I think I actually, as a gift at some point, Jennifer asked for this. It wasn't Valentine's Day. It was maybe Christmas. A steering wheel cover.
That's who buys anybody a steering wheel cover?
Okay, that is
okay.
The worst gift ever.
But if it has hearts on it, is that okay? A little heart?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Because here's the deal, Glenn. This is what most men have to realize that they don't understand, is that the gift that you give is... maybe she needed a steering wheel cover. However, when her girlfriends say, oh, my God, what did he get you for Valentine's Day? And she's going to go, a steering wheel cover. And it doesn't matter how cute. It could be laid with gold, okay? It could be pure gold steering wheel cover, and you still got her a steering wheel cover, and she has to tell her friends about that. So it must be something that when she recites it to her friends, because that's really... kind of like we get dressed up to impress other women, okay, more than we do men. All right, so she has to be able to say something that is going to impress her friends and make her look like she married well.
Okay, well, then the next one is not going to do that. You definitely don't want to do this then. Either a self-help book.
Oh, God, never. Don't ever. Like, if Chad came up, like, yeah, I've put on, like, 8 pounds since we got married. If he, for some reason, walked in here with a book on how to lose weight, I'd punch him.
All right, the next one, just I understand why the next one's on the list, because it requires no effort, no thought, and that's a gift card. I think gift cards are out for Valentine's Day. Just
yeah. I don't know, Jennifer, what do you think? I don't think you like these, but if it was a gift card to a couple's massage or just a massage for me and it was attached to, like, something awesome, I would say that it was okay.
Yeah, but that's different. Well, I think what they were talking about there is Amazon, or, you know, you buy an Amazon
gift card. Hallmark
gift card. Or Red Lobster, you know, or something
Red
like
that. Red Lobster.
Like, that's what they were talking about there, was that kind of gift card.
Yeah.
The next one, I was kind of surprised, because I think I've probably gotten Jennifer one of these when we were newly married all those years ago. It's a teddy bear. There's a whole company, the Vermont Teddy Bear Company, that makes bazillions of dollars every year on teddy bears.
Is it a horse? Are they calling it, like where they call Coke, is every soda and pop and all that? Is a teddy bear any stuffed animal? Because if you got me a big, giant stuffed horse, I'd be okay with that. Or a teddy bear with, like, a diamond attached.
So the teddy bear has to be blinged out for it to be okay.
The teddy bear can be blinged,
Or it can have the couples massage gift card attached as well.
Yes. If the teddy bear is from the Build-A-Bear store, where you both go together and build it together, and you've been married for less than 24 months, that's acceptable.
Oh, there I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that's a
squishy bonding kind of a thing. Yeah.
All right, so the next one's probably out then, too. Jamie, I know this is probably not on your list. Jennifer would probably like this, but tickets to a tractor pull.
You can so get me that.
Really?
I love tractor pulls.
She loves tractor pulls.
What is wrong with your wife, Glenn?
I love my wife. I love tractor pulls, too.
You guys are the perfect dang couple I've ever heard of, ever.
Telling you were redneck. Cheap jewelry. Cheap jewelry is off the list, apparently.
Yeah. If you can't afford expensive jewelry, fellas, just don't get any at all.
Well, there you go.
if you give me a ring and I put it on my finger and around my finger in the next, like, hour and a half because I start to sweat, my finger turns green, we're breaking up. So keep that in mind.
You guys are absolutely going to love the next one. A bathroom scale.
Oh, my God. Along with the steering wheel cover and self-help books, this is a fantastic list because if you gave me a bathroom scale, I would hit you over the head with it. What do you think, Jen?
Absolutely. I don't know if men are allowed to buy bathroom scales, period.
You make a good point.
Does this also include the horse weight tape? If we gave you a horse weight tape, is that also on the list then?
No, that's allowed.
I could strangle you with it if you were intending me to have it. I would like to say that I think that it should be a law, Jennifer. You've really hit on something very interesting here. If for some reason you work retail and a man comes up to the counter and goes to purchase a bathroom scale, he must answer like 15 questions about almost like adopting a horse or a dog. You have to do the questionnaire. I think a man should have to fill out a questionnaire and including on it, is this present for your wife? Are you married? Is it going to be anywhere near a woman? Are you putting it in a woman's bathroom? Is there anything that can be construed as being not for you, single bachelor living alone? Because if it is, you can't buy it. Brilliant.
And the last and final one is anything you cook in. Like pots and pans.
In our case, I could get you that for Valentine's and it would be okay.
Yes, that's correct.
But not the other way around.
Because I love
cooking it. I totally took that another way. Anything you cook in, I'm like high heels, French maid outfit.
And if I got Glenn those, he would like it too.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
Glenn in high heels and a French maid outfit. It's Valentine's Day for everybody.
All right, so I want to know the question of the day on Facebook is, what is an approved gift for a horsewoman for Valentine's Day? What's an approved Valentine's Day gift for a horsewoman? Because I want to know. I got to go shopping here over the weekend. And there's a lot of horse husbands listening to this. We want to know, what is an approved gift for a horsewoman for Valentine's Day? So that's the question. So, Jamie, what would you what's your approved gift? Obviously, you're really pushing for a massage this year. You must be feeling kind of creaky.
Yeah, my shoulder still hurts. No, approved gifts for me would be, I gave you guys a really good idea. Go out and buy a massage gift certificate, attach it to a teddy bear, throw some chocolates underneath it. She'll think all she got was a teddy bear and chocolates, and she'll be mad, and then she'll see the gift card. So, booyah, great gift. I would like that. However, I would also like a dressage saddle. So if any of those things could work, I really need a new one. So if you could put in a good word for me.
I am giving Jennifer knows what one of her gifts is this year. On Monday, she is getting an exclusive tour of Harry Potter World at Universal Studios in Florida.
Oh, good gift. How romantic. Nothing says love like Harry Potter.
I want to go have butterbeer.
Butterbeer. And butterbeer. That's right. And a little butterbeer.
That sounds unhealthy.
Butter and beer. We'll throw that.
Delicious, all right, let's get to our... but unhealthy.
That list is compliments of a website that I've never been to before. I forgot to write down what it was. So Thank you to the unknown website who provided the 10 worst gifts to give a woman on Valentine's Day. But I think they were pretty accurate, except for the tractor pulls, which apparently I can get Jennifer this year. And we'll let your husband deal with the massage. I'll send him a text later. I got to make up for getting in trouble yesterday.
Yeah,
this song is by somebody that is on Jamie's wish list, Jared Rogerson.
Woo-hoo!
New website, jaredrogerson.com. It's very nice. New website. He's looking all handsome on there. And this song is called Honky Tonk Halo.
Well, you've been living on white lines and asphalt. Time and strangers keep passing you by. Don't you know there's a place you can go to? Heaven's just neat, the Wyoming sky, and there's a honky tonk halo hanging on cowgirl angel, storm clouds dancing on the open sky. Dusty roads that lead down to blue water, it just might change that broke down look in your eyes. You've been beat down, busted and broken. You've fallen on some real hard days. If you listen to the words I have spoken, won't even have to pass away. There's honky tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angel, storm clouds dancing on the open sky, dusty roads that lead you down to blue water. It just might change that broke down look in your eyes. Cowgirl angel, storm clouds dancing on the open sky, dusty roads that lead you down to blue water. It just might change that broke down look in your eyes. Honky tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angel, storm clouds dancing on the open sky, dusty roads that lead you down to blue water. It just might change that broke down look in your eyes.
Okay, that song's just awesome. That is Jared Rogerson, Honky Tonk Halos. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. But, Glenn, I think you forgot to do Feed XL, so you should do the highlight show and then Feed XL. What do you think?
All right, good. Well, our Horse Radio Network highlight show for today is the Driving Radio Show, which went live last night. We did an interview with Pat Hastings. And you're going to want to hear this interview. She just won an event down in Ocala driving a pair of Dale's horses. Dale's ponies are the cutest things, and they're on the rare list. And she actually has a pair of Dale's horses that she drives and does very well with. But you're going to want to hear her story because she has overcome a very serious obstacle to get to the point she's at now, and anybody else would just be not have gone on like she has to achieve the things she has and have such a positive attitude. You're just going to want to hear this interview. And also, Dr. Ying talks about bitchy bears and what you can do with them. And first piece of advice was sell them, but she was just kidding. So that's your Driving Radio Show, and you can find it at drivingradioshow.com. Don't forget FeedXL. FeedXL is one of our terrific sponsors. It's been with us for a long time. If you have not taken the time yet to go to their website and check it out, you need to do that. FeedXL.com. You can go on there. It only takes a couple minutes to put in information about your horses and to put information about exactly what you feed your horses. And some doctors of nutrition have put together these reports that will print out. It'll analyze all the everything that you're feeding your horses, from hay to grain to supplements, the whole thing. Anything goes in the horse's mouth, and it's going to give you complete breakdowns on what you're feeding too much of, what you're feeding too little of, and it'll help you make adjustments in the way you're feeding your horse so that you know you're doing it correctly. And you can do all of that very simply and easily at feedxl.com.
Well, we've got our next guest on the line, and it is time, Glenn, to learn. Play it.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
You know, it just might ruin his lunch when we're talking about, and I'm going down the list here, testicles, semen, oviducts, ovulation, all those things make a man very uncomfortable. Uterine infections, this is going to be great. I'm so excited. Michelle from thehorse.com, and we've got Dr. Margo McPherson. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank
Good
you.
Good morning.
So this is kind of part two of breeding. We talked a little bit about it with Dr. Jones last week, or kind of got in depth. But I believe this is – now, Michelle, why part two? What are we going to discuss today?
So last week we talked about those mare breeding basics, what mare owners should expect, especially mare owners who are new to breeding their horses. This week we're going to talk about when things go wrong with those mares that you're trying to get pregnant. It's super frustrating to really want that foal on the ground, but to take the mare and you have big dreams of what your foal is going to turn out like, and then you can't get her pregnant. And so Dr. Jones called up her friend, Dr. McPherson, to help field some of these questions this week. Dr. McPherson is from the University of Florida. She is the reproduction chief there, and she's board certified. So thank you for joining us, Dr. McPherson.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
So, Dr. McPherson, you moderated the repro sessions at AEP at the most recent convention in San Antonio, and I was just wondering if you could give us kind of some highlights, some things that stood out for you while you were there before we get started on these problem mares.
There were a number of really great papers at the AAP this year. It was a particularly good repro section. There were two sessions, and the one that I moderated, there were several techniques that were discussed that were of interest. One of our speakers, Stefania Buca, talked a lot about using the ultrasound to evaluate the cervix of a mare. And typically, we have not been using the ultrasound to do that. It's a technique that is used very commonly in women, and she's applied it to the use of horses to try to diagnose changes in the cervix during pregnancy and when the mare is cycling. So it's a useful technique for veterinarians to be able to apply to horse mm-hmm. reproduction. There was a very nice paper at looking at oviductal patency, which, again, if we extrapolate from women, that's a very common cause of infertility in women. It has not been thought to be a cause of infertility in mares in the past, but this group from Texas A&M showed that, indeed, they were able to use a laparoscopic technique to access the oviduct, and they showed that, actually, in some very young mares, there were accumulations of debris that were probably causing the mares to have blockages of their oviducts. So it was a really, really neat presentation. Some of the other things go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you talking about your AEP stuff. But I was going to ask, so are these mares that have these issues, would these fall into that category of a quote-unquote problem breeding mare?
A mare with an the oviductal patency issue would be very low on the list of things that would potentially cause infertility, but it certainly is something that we need to examine more carefully. We have kind of ignored that in the past. It's probably not going to be a cause of infertility in a vast majority of mares, but in the mare that has been unable to get pregnant over subsequent seasons and several cycles and bred to known fertile stallions, this would be an area that I would probably investigate.
So how do you define a problem breeding mare? Is it the mare that doesn't get pregnant after a couple of cycles, or is it more than that?
That's such a great question. It's and one of the things that I think that we all forget about is that there are several variables that will contribute to pregnancy in a mare. So first, it's the mare's reproductive health, and of course, then it's the stallion's reproductive health as well. And then management plays a really, really important role. And so our first step is to kind of address all those component parts. And then when we have identified that a mare is being bred using good management techniques, so she's being bred very close to ovulation with very high-quality semen, yet she's still not becoming pregnant after several cycles. I mean, we generally say 3 cycles in a year. Then it's time to investigate why she's not getting pregnant.
And last week, Dr. Jones talked about doing the culture and cytology on the mare before you take her to the breeding shed. So with those tests, what are we looking for, and what shows up if there's a problem in those tests, and what do we do about it?
Culture and cytology, those are good screening tools, and that has been sort of the doctrine that has been used, particularly in thoroughbreds, for years and years and years. And that's based on the principle that infection is what's causing the mare not to become pregnant. And, of course, in a live breeding situation like thoroughbreds, they definitely don't want a stallion to become infected because a mare has a uterine infection. So, again, early in the season, they're used as screening tools to make sure that the mare doesn't have some active infection that would, one, prevent her from becoming pregnant, and, two, would contribute toward the stallion becoming infected. In terms of identifying the problem breeding mare, it's really just one piece of the puzzle, because infectious infertility is only one aspect. There are lots of things that can contribute to a mare not becoming pregnant, just like we talked about, oviductal patency being one of those potential things. So that would be a good start.
So in your experience, and this is what you do all day long, what are the most common causes of mares not getting pregnant?
Infection,
once you have it narrowed down to it being a mare issue.
Right. Well, infection certainly would be one of them, and that would be a mare that has been bred several times and exposed to a lot of contaminants. So infection would be one thing, but a normal, healthy mare should be able to clear any kind of contamination to her tract during the breeding process. So there are also some kind of intrinsic defects to just the system. So the uterus itself is a muscle, and if the uterus isn't contracting appropriately, it may not get rid of the contents of it, you know, after breeding. So it will have a lot of contamination. It might not empty that debris out through the cervix after breeding. And there are things that can cause the mare to have, you know, a compromise to her immune system. So she may not mount the right response to those contamination products, if you will, during breeding. So those would be the first things I would look at. The other thing is that oftentimes we're working with an aged population. So particularly, again, if we think about thoroughbreds, we are breeding mares based on their pedigrees, not based on their reproductive soundness. And so we can be breeding these mares into their 20s, and they will age in all aspects of their body systems. And part of that aging process is that they will have sort of scar tissue formation in their uterus that we call fibrosis, or they might have this muscular problem that won't allow them to empty their uterus very well after breeding. And again, that can be an age-related thing. Or they can have defects or compromise to just their vascular system. So blood flow to the uterus. Again, it's important to have a lot of blood flow to that area to support a pregnancy. So age is certainly a big part of that equation.
So for age, you're talking about the older mares. Are there any issues with the younger mares?
Another great question. So not as frequently with a young mare. Again, a young mare in good body condition should have all the right components to be able to clean herself up appropriately. She should be able to evacuate her uterus of all the bad things that are in there after breeding. And the sperm should be able to get up the oviducts in the perfect world. The mare that is interesting to us is the middle-aged mare, and that's the mare that we're seeing more of. She's a mare who's been involved in a performance career early in her life, and then she gets to her teens. And an owner decides that they want to breed her. And that mare, while she might not have fibrosis or, you know, any kind of scar tissue or anything like that, may have a cervix that won't dilate appropriately during the breeding cycle. And what happens is the cervix stays closed after the mare has been bred, and so then she might have her uterus contract to try to clean her uterus out after breeding, but her cervix is closed, and so everything that's inside the uterus can't come out. So that's a problem we're seeing more of.
And how do you address that problem?
It's tough. We try lots of different things. We try to monitor the mare pretty carefully during her cycle. So when we're breeding her, we monitor her cervical dilation and see whether or not she has fluid after breeding. Excuse me. We also will use things like oxytocin. We use a lot of oxytocin in and around the breeding period. So if she does have fluid accumulation in her uterus, we can encourage the uterus to contract, and sometimes oxytocin will also help the cervix relax some. And in really serious cases, we can use things like a prostaglandin E product. Some people might have heard of misoprostol, pardon me, that is useful for helping the muscles of the cervix dilate, and it will cause the cervix to relax so that then when the uterus contracts, the contents can come out of it.
So this is all higher level treatment of the mare for reproductive issues. At what point should the mare owner bring in a specialist such as yourself to help get their mare pregnant?
I think, well, for instance, in my area, I live in near Ocala, Florida, and we have hundreds of very skilled veterinarians that do a lot of breeding work. And so frequently they're doing a great job. And it's when they get to the point of being frustrated, or a mare owner is frustrated, a second opinion is helpful. Or when you get to the point where your veterinarian has tried traditional things, so things that we all use. We use oxytocin in the peri-breeding period, and we use uterine flushing to clean up the uterus. Those are common techniques, and someone has tried those techniques and still is having trouble getting the mare pregnant. That might be when they turn to us as specialists and say, you know, where can we take this a step further? Should we look harder? Should we take a uterine biopsy? Should we do an endoscopy? Should we try some other treatments?
And the hope is that at the end of all of this, you get this beautiful foal. But at what point do mare owners who have struggled to get their mare pregnant, at what point do you recommend maybe giving up on getting that mare pregnant?
Giving up is a tough call. I think so. There's a couple of things. First of all, I would exhaust the examination procedures. So culture cytology, and obviously we would ultrasound the mare's tract. But we feel strongly about doing endometrial biopsies. It's just a little bit of tissue so that we can look at the uterine integrity microscopically. So we want to see that that is okay, possibly an endoscopic examination to see if there's anything within the uterus that is abnormal. And if we exhaust those, then we try, and also we will try breeding using really, really great management techniques. And that means it doesn't matter whether we're using fresh, cooled, or frozen semen. We're trying to inseminate that mare as close to ovulation as possible with very high-quality semen. Sometimes we suggest switching out the stallion if we think that the stallion might be contributing to part of the problem. I try to look at it practically. So I think about how I like information delivered to me, and I like to know what my choices are, and I like to know, you know, what the target level is, what the Macy's level is, and what the Nordstrom level is. And so I know how much money I need to spend on things. And then the way I usually advise clients is I say, okay, well, let's just picture in our minds what this will cost you if we try to breed your mare over 2 to 3 cycles with using optimal conditions. And, you know, we put the figure together. And I generally say it's up to the owner, but they should make a decision about what they're willing to invest. And at the point that they've invested that amount of money, then they should feel good about making a decision not to move forward. And it's not to say they can't change their mind, but the worst case scenario is to get into a situation where we throw good money after bad. And so we are breeding, and all of a sudden, you know, a mare owner has invested thousands of dollars and they don't have that life full, and they feel very resentful because they've spent all that money. So we try to work with them in a stepwise fashion and just say, okay, let's come up with a plan, let's try to follow it, and if at the end of this we don't have what you want, which is a pregnancy and a live foal, let's talk about where we want to go next. And then they're actively involved in that decision-making process.
And hopefully it all goes well and you end up with that perfect foal.
Yeah, we like to win. Right. We don't like to lose in this. We, you know, sometimes it's hard for us. I mean, I had a mare and a mare owner last year, that very situation, and it was really frustrating for all of us, and we worked really, really hard on her, and you know, this mare had been bred to a lot of different stallions, yet we still couldn't get her pregnant, and it was hard for me to give up on her. I mean, I wanted to try a couple of different things. You know, there's always a budget involved, and so it wasn't as if we had unlimited resources to spend, but the owner was very generous in allowing us to do things. And yet it just, there's something felt undone. We couldn't identify what it was. And so sometimes it's hard for us to give up. But I think in fairness to the mare owner, you have to have sort of some idea of when's enough.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Your insight.
And both you guys coming on and being a part of the show. My gosh, it's been a fascinating information for those who are breeding and maybe have that problem there. So, Dr. McPherson, is there a place that, you know, people have some questions about things that you've talked about that they can find you? Do you have a website?
We do. We have the Large Animal Hospital at the University of Florida. We have a website for reproduction, and I have a page, and there are some of these very things. I know that the interview that I had with the horse at the AAP, there's a link on there. There's some other informative links that are associated with that. I think that's, and the horse is a great resource. I think for all horse owners and problems that are of interest to them, I found it to be an incredibly useful resource online.
Well, thehorse.com is the go-to for pretty much any information that you need. Well, Michelle, anything else? Anything else you got,
yeah,
Michelle?
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw out that AAP wrap-up is going to be in our March print issue, and it's going to have summaries of those sessions that Dr. McPherson helped moderate, plus all the other great stuff that happened there. Lots of good information coming up. You can also find those articles online at thehorse.com. You can search for AAP 2011 to find those. lots of information.
Yeah, there's some wonderful, wonderful articles. That was a great meeting, and there's some really neat stuff. So I would encourage people to look there. And also the AAP website.
AAP.com and also thehorse.com. Michelle and Dr. McPherson, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys again, maybe Dr. McPherson soon, hopefully, and Michelle will talk to you next week.
Okay, wishing
thanks,
pregnancy
Jamie.
For everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Happy to hear that.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Well, there you go, Jamie. Wishing pregnancy for everybody.
Oh, no. I shun that remark. I shun.
Well, this has been a fun show. We've you've managed to catch Larry off guard today with a couple of your questions, I think.
Yeah, I think I made him a little uncomfortable. First of all, I didn't know if he was married or not, and he did not seem to respond very well to that question. And also, he did not like the idea of adopting the horse, I think.
No, I don't think he liked that either. I think he travels a little too much. I don't think he has a horse trailer hooked to the back of his car. So.
Well, that horse is still available, so I thought maybe, offered to him first and then let everybody else know that my wife knows everything. It could be yours still.
And it could be somebody in the audiences, too. Yeah, that horse is available.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So what we it's horseadoption.com if you want to find New Vocations website. They're a good group. Matter of fact, they're going to be coming on. Jennifer, are they coming up soon? We're going to have them on once a month for this year, and they're going to highlight a horse that they have up for adoption every month. Is that starting soon?
That's Monday the 13th is their first time on.
Oh, good. Cool. All right, good. So that'll be fun to learn about the different horses they have up for adoption and a little bit about the backstory from them. Well, that's it, Jamie. Let's call it a day here. As we said, everybody, tomorrow will be Jamie's audition show that she did about 14 months ago. And we're playing that for you because Jennifer and I are on our way to Ocala, Florida. We'll be broadcasting live from Ocala over the next week. We'll be down at the offices of Easy Signs Online. It's going to be helping us out. So we'll be doing that, and we'll be hopefully getting to visit some people that we can talk about a little bit here on the show over the weekend. And, Jamie, we'll talk to you again on Friday. Don't forget the really bad ads. Get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a matching halter and dog collar from Red. How did we decide to say that? Hote? Hout?
I think it's Hote.
Hote. Red Hote Design and Yellow Dog, made in the USA.
Hot.
You can find all of their stuff at redhotehorse.com.
Hot.
So that'll be on Friday. Hot.
Hote?
I don't know. Somebody out there can correct us and post on Facebook how I'm actually supposed to say that word, because I don't want to get it wrong. They're coming on the show on Friday.
Yeah, and the update on our Facebook before we let everybody go is you had a crappy list, and there was a lot of gifts that people wanted. What's an approved Valentine's Day gift? What Kathy says, arena sand, a nice load, or new trailer tires. Laura Gorman wants a saddle pad from Yucca Flats. And Melanie said, give a gift, twice. Get a book as from one of the rescues. And I came up with the most brilliant Valentine's Day gift for a horse person of all times. I posted it on our Facebook page. It's a couples massage for you and your horse. Isn't that awesome?
There are some of the massage people who do horses that also do people. They're also licensed massage therapists for people. So you could get that done.
Come on in this room, Jamie and Jet. Just lay down on the table. We're going to turn the lights down, get some music going. Okay. That'd be awesome. What a good idea. Couples massage for you and your horse. Sold. So if anybody knows somebody who does that, post it on our Facebook page so we can give them a shout out. Because, again, I've just invented the I do great work for men everywhere, okay? I make it easy for you. That's what I do.
Okay, I'm going to take that little snippet out and replay that over and over on the show.
That's what I do. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
The only part I'm taking out is I do great work for men everywhere. There you go.
You start saving that, I'm going to start saving stuff you say. You don't want to open that box, do you? No, I didn't think so. Oh, God.
All right, Jamie, have a great day. Enjoy the horses.
All right, spay, neuter, and geld, people.
Can't find it. Where'd it go?
The closing
music.
Hey.
Where is it? There it is. Say the spay, neuter, and geld again.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people.
There we go.
That wasn't really worth it.
Great work for men everywhere.
Now I'm going to save you saying it.